course, brethren, when we first started this series, we had no idea it was going to sort of continue on like this. But, you know, as we go into these scriptures, it is a part of the scripture that most of us don't spend a lot of time in, and there's an awful lot of knowledge included in this first chapter of the book of the Bible. And so, and I have been asked to continue this series relative to this book and the lives of the men and women who God first began dealing with on an intimate basis. As we said before, these are personal relationships, and as these relationships are set down in writing as a part of God's written word, our review finds a foundation, broad principles from which we can learn and then apply in our own lives, in our own personal relationships with God the Father and with Jesus Christ and with those that God has called at this time, those individuals from whom God will establish the first fruits of his family and the kingdom in the near future. We've examined briefly the lives of Adam and Eve and of Cain and Abel, but as we've gone deeper into the book of Genesis, we find much more detail when we come to the lives of Noah and of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and of the problems that they encountered and of their dealings with one another and with God and with their fellow man. And we saw Eve's rejection of God's instruction, of Adam making a wrong choice by following Eve's error, and of the consequence of those actions upon the human race. And we saw Cain following in that same evil path and of his rising up and slaying his brother, Abel, as Cain refused to follow the right example which was set in the way his brother Abel lived his life in obedience to God's way. And we saw the righteous example of Noah's life, which was contrary to the way that all others in that society chose to follow. And we saw how God accepted Noah's life of obedience to his way, and how through the obedience of that one righteous man, the continuance of life for all of mankind was preserved in the earth. And we saw Abraham willingly forsaking the place where he was reared, a place that he knew and was accustomed to, and we observed his decision to follow God's instructions and go to a land which he did not know, a people he did not know or understand, but willing to obey God above all else that he might have thought to do. And as we examine these stories, brethren, we see a man who came to love a way of life, God's way of life, and to forsake all else for that way. And this, of course, was in contrast with what is the normal way of mankind who have chosen to live contrary to God's commanded way and all that that way entails. Many who walk with God, or have walked with God, did so, brethren, with a keen desire to obey him in every aspect of their lives, though this was often difficult as the pulls of the flesh worked against them and as the circumstances they became involved with sort of entrapped them, you might say. Many who walked with God desired to walk this way, though, and many struggled in their efforts to believe that all God requires of one whom he's called. And of course, we have seen Satan's intervention in men's lives and the havoc caused when one gives in to his destructive ways. And as we read the pages of God's Word, we see the history of mankind beginning to unfold before our very eyes. And this can be a very exciting adventure indeed, brethren, as we begin going through the books of the Bible. So much of the Bible people are not familiar with. They don't know it. A lot of it they, you know, just never even look at. And there's so much there. And here we're about halfway through the book of Genesis. We've already spent 3 sermons. Never intended to do this, as I said. But one of the critical things we observe as we read the pages of God's Word is that this life we live is a life of choices. God does not dictate to us how we will choose. He sets before us the potential criteria from which we are to choose. Will we choose good or will we choose evil? Will we choose right or will we choose wrong? God's directive, of course, is that we choose good, that we choose the righteous way based upon the principles that are outlined in this Word. But choose, brethren, we must. And we make these choices every day of our lives, every moment that we live. Thus, we can see the importance of the principles, of the examples that are laid out before us in God's Word. And we can learn from experience, of course, but even better, we can learn from the experience of others who have lived before us. And as we examine these experiences, which are written here in this book, we can come to understand why it is so critical that we choose the right, seeing the problems that many have encountered by choosing wrong. This, brethren, is a marvelous book that we have. It's the most important book ever written. And it's available to us because of the obedience of those who preceded us in this way. It's a book basically about one family and about others as they come and become involved with this one family. In our relationship with God, if we are faithful to the things which are taught in this book, then God will continue to open our minds to even more of His truth. And we will be able to see things with much more clarity than ever before. And what a blessing it is, brethren, And so, the examples which are found in the book, which we are studying, are important for us as we learn of God and of His way of life. Now, after the flood, we encountered the lives of Abraham and of Isaac, and we saw their obedience to God's way. We saw that God chose Abraham. We saw that He chose Isaac over his elder brother, Ishmael, who was born of Hagar, Abraham's bondwoman. We came to understand that it was Isaac and his descendants, born of Sarah, whom God chose to pass down from generation to generation the blessings which He had promised to Abraham and his descendants forever. And we learn that Ishmael was the father of the Arab nations of today, and that God would bless them as well. But the birthright God gave to Isaac and to his seed after him. The Bible shows God's intimate involvement in bringing Isaac and Rebekah together as husband and wife, revealing the loving care God has in dealing with those that he plans to work with during this lifetime. You may think your life is isolated. It's not. Because once God makes that decision to call you, and you don't know when it was that he made that decision. It could be it was in your mother's womb. You just don't know. But God makes those decisions, and God does the calling, brethren. Not any man, not what any man does. Because the relationship is between you and God. And so we see God's love for Isaac in the details of Isaac's life. Just as the love of God is reflected in his dealings with us. If we faithfully continue, brethren, to walk in God's way, we can know by the examples revealed in this word that God will be involved continuously in the circumstances of our lives. Now, you may think at times you're all alone, but you're not. Remember that. We notice in the relationships which are revealed between God and those who follow him that God does allow for problems to be injected into our lives. Various trials, struggles, challenges, sorrows, which afflict God's people, but from which obedience to him is learned. Even Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered, as was mentioned in the announcements. And of course, we recommend that you go and read the Q&A in this week's update number 169, that goes into the subject. Abraham, as an example, had many such opportunities for learning in his life. And we see that God always saw him through these difficulties. And it was through these struggles that Abraham's faith grew as he saw God move in various ways to assist him in getting through the trials which he continued to be entangled in. And it's in such trying times, brethren, that our faith and our confidence and trust in God builds to maturity. Now, let's go back now to the story of Isaac. Isaac had two sons of his wife, Rebekah. They were twins, but they were as different as night and day, as the saying goes. Let's review from God's Word what the Scripture tells us relative to these two boys. We go to Genesis chapter 25. And beginning in verse 21. Genesis 25, verse 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If all is well, why am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Very significant, brethren, these words. Two separate nations were in her womb. totally different peoples. And down through time, we'll see that those became many nations. Verse 24. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. It was like a hairy garment all over. And they called his name Esau. And afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. We see in these verses already, brethren, conflict. And the conflict begins within the womb of Sarah. And this event foreshadows the future nations to come from her. The Israelites, who would descend from Jacob, and the Edomites, who would descend from Esau. And of course, we understand that the descendants of Esau today are the modern Turks, the nation of Turkey. And over the years and the centuries to come, this conflict between two peoples will continue. We can notice this. I'll just hold your place here. We'll turn over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 8, in David's, King David's time. 2 Samuel 8, and beginning in verse 13. And David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David reigned over all of Israel, and David's administration administered judgment and justice to his people. The Edomites, of course, are the descendants of Esau. Let's go back now to Genesis 25. Now, we see in these verses, brethren, as we read here in Genesis, that Esau was Isaac's preference, and that Jacob was Rebekah's preference. Now, we know this isn't good, but it happens, doesn't it? It happens today in families. It's no different then. But most important here, we've come to find out that God chose Jacob over Esau. He had to make a choice, and that was his choice. And although Esau would normally have been entitled to the major part of the inheritance from his father, the birthright and the blessing, Jacob receives both. We see also in these verses the example of scheming on the part of Rebekah in her effort to ensure Jacob's success in this. Her example surely is an unrighteous one and was not of God. And yet we see also that Esau had little regard for the birthright which was due by law to him. God effectively inspired the writers to state that Esau despised his birthright. At the same time, Jacob had a high regard for the birthright. We see here, brethren, basically the difference in these two boys. Jacob had a much higher regard for the blessings that God was handing down. Esau was looking to the present to fulfill the physical lusts of the flesh. Jacob was looking for much more. a long-term blessing from God. And of course, God intended all along that Jacob would be the one he would work with and would have seen to it that these blessings were received by Jacob in a proper manner. In fact, they were received out of deceit. And Jacob would have to learn a better way, which he would learn through God's steady hand in his life and many trials and sorrows that he went through. But the birthright was now his. So let's continue with these scriptures relative to the conflicts between these two twin brothers. First, the birthright. In Genesis 25, beginning in verse 29, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. I'm famished. You know, so what profit is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This is noted over in the book of Hebrews. I'll just flip over there real quick. In Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning in verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all men, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. It wasn't worth anything to him. And for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, a different thing that we'll go into in a few moments, he was rejected. We found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So Esau here is, God calls him profane, or inspired that he be called that, showing Esau's disdain for the advantages that would have come from God. And of course, we do see Jacob taking advantage of his brother as we go through these scriptures. Now let's look at the blessing in Genesis 27 and verse 1. And this is very important, brethren, when we think about these things, because it has to do with the lives of peoples and nations down through centuries, right until the time of Christ's return. Genesis 27 and verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see that he called Esau, his older brother, and said to him, my son. And he answered, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapon, your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I have heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make me savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and get them for me. And he went and he got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. And then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son, Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of the game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Now notice that Jacob fell right into this deception. And here he is lying to his father. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac and his father, and he felt him, and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. And so he blessed him. And then he said, are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him. And he said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you, be master over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And so, through the deception of Rebekah, and Jacob's lies and his part in this deception, Jacob receives the blessing. Let's continue now and notice Esau's dilemma. Verse 30. Then it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father rise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and he said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I now do for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And then Isaac his father answered, and he said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. But by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Thus Jacob receives from his father the birthright and his father's blessing, thereby giving him tremendous advantage over his brother. Yet we know, brethren, that this is not the way that we should live. And Jacob is going to pay dearly for his deceit as time goes on. And certainly, as we said earlier, God would have blessed him anyway, because God had made the choice already. But we, at times, we want to intervene and take on for ourselves responsibilities that are not ours. We need to have faith, brethren, and that's what this whole sermon series is about, the fact that it takes faith to obey God and to walk in his way. We learn a real lesson in this account of the conflicts between these brothers. We learn that even with our many flaws, that God will deal positively with us if we remain passionate in our pursuit of his way of life, which Jacob did do. Now notice, as we go ahead, Genesis 27, verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother, Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And so we see the beginning, brethren, of what this deception on the part of Jacob will result in. And he will have many difficult years ahead. And Rebekah will never see him again in this lifetime. Verse 46, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be for me? Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply. that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob, and Esau. And Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebahoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives that he had. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And certainly, brethren, we know that in this, there are peoples all over the world who are a part of this family because God told him where to send them. And certainly they have not all returned yet to the land of their fathers. Verse 15, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he put at his head and set up a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Becomes apparent, brethren, as we read here, that prior to this vision, God is viewed by Jacob as the God of his fathers. Not his God. It's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. But now, for the first time, Jacob considers that the Lord will be his God. You see, it's a decision we all have to make. We saw, if we were to go back a few chapters, we would see where Isaac made that decision. He made it independent of what Abraham did. But it was based on the fact that he had been reared in that way. But when God opens a mind and calls a person, and the person accepts that calling, then they become gods. And so we see here Jacob And he has now come to realize that everything that he has belongs to God. And he pledges to give back to God a tenth of all. Many of God's people today seem to have either forgotten this requirement of God or just flat reject the concept to their own detriment. Of course, Malachi 3, verses 8 through 12, speak to the problem. We won't turn there. We're all very familiar with it. But if only our country and the related countries of the United States and Britain and Canada and Australia and all of God's the people that make up God's people, as outlined in this word, if they would all just understand this, think of the tremendous blessings we would have today, brother. But the nation has forgotten to the point that we want to remove God's name from the documents of our nation. There would be so many blessings that would come to us if we would only follow this principle. Thus it's established that Jacob, through his own will, has made the proper choice for his life to follow God and to pursue God's ways. And God will carry on with his plan through this family. Thus God passes the blessings down from Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Genesis 29, then in verse 1. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." And he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." So he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. Look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." And he said, "Look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep." Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban's mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and he wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. And then it came to pass when Laban heard the report that Jacob, his sister's son, about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely, you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what will be your wages." And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were delicate or weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. And then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in to her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." And then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. And then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Now Jacob, brethren, and his mother had deceived Isaac and had taken through dishonesty that which did not yet belong to Jacob. Had Jacob waited on God, no doubt, he would have received the birthright and the blessing through God's provision. It's possible also, if Jacob had done things righteously, he would have received his wife Rachel without having to suffer deception. Who knows? And without having to hurt Leah as he did, because we'll see that part of the story as we go ahead. But as a result of Jacob's lack of faith in dealing with God at that time, he found himself having to suffer these painful consequences, which would continue down through the years. Jacob, brethren, is learning as he goes. But in this case, not without considerable cost. Verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. And then she stopped bearing. Notice now she has 4 sons. She figures that certainly now her husband will love her. But his love is for Rachel. Chapter 30 and verse 1. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and she said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And then Rachel said, "God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And then Rachel said, "With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. And when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah made Zilpah, bore Jacob a son. And then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Now you might think this is sort of an incidental thing to be in here, but it's sort of interesting what happens with this. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Then Jacob remembered Rachel. God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. We saw earlier, brethren, in the book of Genesis, the battle with the problems of being barren on the part of Sarah, on the part of Rebecca. And we saw that it is God who gives life through the power of His Spirit. We saw women blessed as they followed God in His way, in faith toward Him. And yet we saw women who were of God, who for one reason or another, God withheld at times. But God has His reasons. A lot of times we don't understand what's going on with certain situations in our life. But we say, why does God allow this? Well, maybe we've got things to learn. And so we saw that God was merciful, for example, with Leah, because she was not cherished by Jacob, as was Rachel. And thus, through Leah's seed, the kingly tribe of Judah and the priestly tribe of Levi descended. And of course, out of Judah came David and Jesus. And so, even though she was rejected by her husband, God did not reject her. And of course, Christ was rejected by man as well. And God certainly loved him. We, brethren, must take care in our dealings with every human being we come in contact with, not knowing how God may view each of those lives. And we must never forget that God is able to deal with us in all of our imperfections as He builds character, His character within us. And so we may have problems, but we must not give up. And so we see that Leah wound up, the result in her life was that she had six children, and her handmaid had two, and Rachel's handmaid had two, and then, of course, Rachel had Joseph, and later we'll have the son Benjamin. As we examine the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac, we see men who were human. They made mistakes, yet God continued to work with them. As we examine the life of Jacob, the third of these patriarchs, we see a young man who at times demonstrates the characteristics of greed and of a conniving nature, who took advantage of his brother and deceived his father, who was approaching the time of his death. And we see the consequences of these actions as Jacob has to flee to escape the anger of his brother, and as he neglected one of his wives in favor of the other one. And as we read these stories, we come to understand much about our God and our relationship with Him. We come to understand, brethren, that God's purpose is much higher than what most human beings conceive. We come to understand that He works out His plan despite what we as human beings may perceive to do in our own way. We come to understand that even in our weaknesses, God is able to use us in accomplishing His purpose. If we will not turn from Him, if we will not reject Him, once He has called us to His way, there are going to be problems. We all will have them. But we must not reject God because of our own personal difficulties. We come to understand that God will accomplish His purpose through us if we remain faithful as we grow in the knowledge which He has revealed to us. Now, in the balance of this chapter of Genesis 30, we see an interesting story of how even Laban continues to try to take advantage of his son-in-law and how God blesses Jacob at every turn. Let's look at this. Genesis 30 and verse 25, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service, which I have done for you.' And Laban said to him, 'Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes. For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake.' Then he said, 'Name me your wages, and I will give it.' And Jacob said to him, 'You know how I have served you, and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it is now increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house?' So he said, 'What shall I give you?' And Jacob said, 'You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages.'" Speaking of going forward. In other words, he's not going to take those, but now the flock will be free of those types. "So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen, if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and gave them into the hand of his son, to Laban's sons. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took up for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white stripes in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the street, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's stock. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous, and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. And this conflict, brethren, is going to cause tremendous animosity between Jacob and Laban's sons. And so God tells Jacob to leave that place and to return to the land of his fathers. But again, when that decision is made, it causes additional problems. Everything Jacob does, it seems like, it causes problems. And so, here he's trying to do what God wants him to do, and he's got problems with his father-in-law. Now, Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him anymore, or as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers, to your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as it was before. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. And if he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks were speckled. And if the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. You see, brethren, as long as he obeyed God, as long as he followed God, then God blessed him. And this is the point, that we get into problems at times and we don't know what to do. But if we will follow God, God's instructions in our lives, he will bless us. That's the example that we see. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. And then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which leaped on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. And I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now rise and get out of this land and return to the land of your kindred. And then Rachel and Leah answered and said, is there still any portion of inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and has completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's now. Whatever God has said to you, you do. And then Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels and carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen his household idols. So now Rachel is getting into the act of doing things that's not right. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban with the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had, and he arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountain of Gilead. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. And then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and he said to him, "Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad." So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives to be taken with a sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal from me, away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs and timbrel and harp. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.' And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods?" And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, and I said, 'Perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our children, identify what I have taken of yours and take it with you.' For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them." And Laban went into Jacob's tent and Leah's tent and into the two maids' tent, but he did not find them. And then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent but didn't find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched but did not find the household idols. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren that they may judge between us. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes, your female goats, have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you, I bore the loss. You required it from my hand, whether stolen or by day or night. There I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years, and I served you 14 years now for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." Brethren, this conflict doesn't get resolved as outlined in this chapter, as God speaks separately to Jacob and then to Laban in bringing about his will And this is the interesting thing, that God will perform his will, brethren, in our lives if we will just allow him to do it. And so God delivers Jacob despite Jacob's personal problems. I just want to go through one other major thing here, and then we'll stop today. In verse 32, so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau." And so he's about to go back and meet his brother again, whom he had deceived, whom he had taken his birthright from and his blessing from. And he doesn't know how Esau is going to deal with him. He says, "Thus your servant Jacob says, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Now you can imagine, brethren, what Jacob's thinking about now. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and camels into two companies. And he said, "If Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape." And then Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and of the God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, and I will deal with you,' I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown me, your servant, and certainly, brethren, none of us are. And yet God, if we are faithful, will remain with us. For I have crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother of the children. For you said, 'I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for a multitude.'" And so he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present from Esau, his brother: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 fowls. And he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, "Pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves." And he commanded the first one, saying, "When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, 'To whom do you belong and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you?' Then you shall say, 'They are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and behold, he is also behind us.' So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, 'In this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, Behold, your servant Jacob is behind us.' For he said, 'I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp." In these verses, brethren, we are able to see that Jacob came to understand his unworthiness of the blessings that he had received, and that they did not come because of his faithfulness in every case to God, as with his fathers. And he comes to realize the need of God's intervention in resolving this crisis that he's caused between himself and his brother. Verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. And then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against them, and this is speaking of God, is wrestling with Jacob. He did not prevail against him. He touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked him, saying, "Tell me your name, and I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. And therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. Jacob sends his family ahead in their journey to meet his brother Esau, and he is alone. And in the ensuing encounter, Jacob comes face to face with God. And the scripture tells us that Jacob had struggled with God and with men, and that he had prevailed. You might wonder why God continues to put up with this man, Jacob, with all the faults that it seems that he had. Well, you know, let's look at the book of Romans for a moment. We'll come back to this one final scripture, but let's go first to Romans 9, and beginning in verse 8. That is, those who are the children, who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as seed. For this is the word of the promise, and at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, "The older shall serve the younger." As it is written, "Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion." So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who has or shows mercy. God has called us, brethren, to this way. It was not our choice, but it is something now that God is responsible for as well as us. But we must continue to prevail. We must not give up. That is the lesson. Let's then look at, in final analysis, in verse 33, chapter 33, and we see the outcome of this particular part of the story. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. And he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and he wept. Or they wept, and he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" And he said, "The children whom God has graciously given your servant." And then the maidservants came near, they and their children, and bowed down. And Leah also came near with her children, and they bowed down. And afterward Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed down. And then Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?" He said, "These are to find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." And Jacob said, "No, please, if I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me. Please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And then Esau said, "Let us take our journey, let us go, and I will go before you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are with me. And if a man should drive them hard one day, all the flock would die. Please let my Lord go on ahead before his servant, and I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock would go before me, and the children are able to endure until I come to the Lord in Seir." And Esau said, "Now let me leave you with you some of my people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built himself a house, and made booths of his livestock. Therefore the name of that place is called Succoth. And then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram. And he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohi Israel. And so, brethren, Jacob's prayer is answered in this matter in a way well beyond anything that he expected. And one of the first things that he does as he comes back into the land of his fathers is to erect an altar to God, because God is his God. We, brethren, have a most merciful Father in heaven. And when he chooses to call an individual into his way, if we will prevail with him, he will never give up on us, even in our imperfections. And we have them, don't we? And that is where we are able to see the grace of our loving Father at work. Remember that grace is defined as unmerited pardon. We don't deserve it. We certainly have not earned it. It's unmerited. It is God's decision in our lives. And that is why we must never lose heart or give up in him. Jacob certainly was in despair as he approached this encounter with his brother, whom he had treated so unfairly. But in prevailing with God and being willing to face his brother, even with the sheer fear of what might happen, Jacob is forgiven. And we see here God's will in Jacob's life, in spite of Jacob's manifold sins. Thus God's chosen people will come from the loins of Jacob according to the will of God. God does, brethren, expect to see change in us as we enter into this way. And as we grow He expects us to improve. We're not to stay as we are always. We have to prevail. We have to prevail with one another. We have to prevail with God in God's way. And if we do this, God will bless us if we will not give up.